Well, the scripture for this morning is Psalm 112. Psalm 112. Either just listen or read along to this portion of God's word. Praise the Lord. How blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who greatly delights in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Light arises in the darkness for the upright. He is gracious and compassionate and righteous. It is well with the man who is gracious and lends. He will maintain his cause in judgment, for he will never be shaken. The righteous will be remembered forever. He will not fear evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is upheld. He will not fear until he looks with satisfaction on his adversaries. He is given freely to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted in honor. The wicked will see it and be vexed. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked perish. As I thought about this psalm and the themes that we have in it, maybe think about back in high school when you were in different courses, always in chemistry it seemed, but in other courses as well. Maybe you might recall that they would put you often in groups of two or three to work together on a project of some sort. And I'm no genius, but sometimes I do recall being in a group of two or three and quickly realizing that I'm the only one that gets it and that I'm going to be doing most, if not all, of the work. Never liked that way of working in twos or threes. It always seemed to work that way. Anyway, as I think about this psalm, it reminds us that by God's grace, we are the ones who get it. We are the ones, by his grace, who understand that life is to be lived for him. We understand that we are called to hold him in awe and respect. We understand that we are to be humble and ask for forgiveness and know Jesus Christ and live for him. And there are blessings that are associated with living for him in a world and among people that do not understand that and who live for other purposes and things. And so our psalm talks about delighting in that obedience, delighting in the blessings of the Lord that we have because by his grace alone we have been called to know him and to live for him. And let's see that as we work our way through. First, we see awe and obedience in verse 1. Our psalm comes without a superscription again. So we do not know the name of its human author. We do know that it's usually understood in connection with Psalm 111, which we looked at last week. And these back-to-back psalms are similar in theme. They begin with praise, begin with hallelujahs, and they are both acrostics. The first letter of the first word in every poetic line works its way through the Hebrew alphabet. That's not obvious in English, but it is in the Hebrew. Psalm 122 is often categorized as a wisdom psalm, as it describes the blessings of a life lived in righteousness before the Lord, as opposed to the curses and the difficulties that come upon the wicked, to those who do not know him. In many ways, it displays the theme of Psalm 1, which also contrasts the life of the godly with the wicked. And so there is wisdom here and spelled out how we are to live. And there is a delight here in the blessings of God, that we are to live for Him and know of the blessings and enjoy them, being called to live for Him. The opening verse tells us of our theme and of our purpose. It begins with praise the Lord, or hallelujah in Hebrew, praise Yah, praise Jehovah or Yahweh. And in that praise, we are directed as to where it goes. And so this isn't just a general looking at the blessings or telling us how to be good people. It begins by telling us that all of this is about the Lord, about Jehovah, about the covenant God of Israel. And in everything that follows, we give praise and thanks to Him, because He is the one who is, by His grace, making it happen. And so we need to carry that all the way through and not see this at all as the blessings of self-help or a way to glorify and enjoy ourselves, because that is not at all the point. It all flows here from praise to Jehovah. Paul writes in Colossians 3 and 17, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through Him to God the Father." And so that goes along with our theme here in our psalm, that it describes a life lived in thanksgiving and in blessing from the Lord, who is our Savior and who is our Creator. Notice that our verse also points to the blessedness that comes from fearing the Lord. And the fear of the Lord is an Old Testament, primarily an Old Testament term, that is really a shorthand reference to the gospel itself. That we have come to be humbled before Him, to know our sins before the perfect and holy God, and that we have repented and we live in awe and in reverence of Him. We have come to know Him as the Holy One before whom we are responsible. We echo the words of the seraphim in Isaiah 6. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And the whole earth is full of His glory. We've come to see our own sinfulness. As Paul writes in Romans 3, that there is none righteous, not even one. And by God's grace, we've come to see that that includes you and I. It includes ourselves. And the Lord, by His grace, has pointed us to the only solution to that problem of God's holiness and our sinfulness. And that is the salvation that we have in the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who has been perfect for us, who's taken wrath for us, who has risen from the dead, and by whom we are reconciled to God. Romans 4 reminds us that righteousness will be credited to those who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered over because of our transgressions, was raised to our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And so in the life of the believer, this fear is not the fear of hell and judgment that it is for the unbeliever. It is a proper awe and respect and humility before the God who has saved us and brought us to Himself. We have, in His grace, come to know Him. As Jesus says in John 17, "This is eternal life, that they may know You, the one true God, and Jesus Christ, whom You have sent." Part of what it means to know Him and to hold Him in awe as our God and Savior is to delight greatly in His commandments, as our psalm says. The law no longer condemns us, but it certainly does guide us in how we are to show love to the Lord. We want to show thanksgiving. We want to show love to the God who has saved us. We want to live consistently in pleasing ways to the God who is holy. And so we receive direction for that. Jesus says in John 14, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so love to God can be expressed oftentimes as a very vague notion. But Jesus there in the scriptures help us to know how that is to be expressed. And at least part of the way in which that is to be expressed is through obedience. The direction that God's word gives and showing us how to live here helps us to glorify him, to show his righteousness in our lives. And in that way, then, it is a delight and not a burden to look to the commandments of God. Psalm 119, verses 35 and 47 give us this expression as well, to delight in God's commandments. Make me to walk in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. I shall delight in your commandments, which I love. And so we don't look at the commandments as this oppressive, burdensome, horrible thing. We look at them by God's grace and through our salvation in Christ as ways to show thanksgiving and praise to God, ways to live holy lives that are pleasing to the holy God. And we are able to do that because of his grace, because he has worked in us and changed us. We pray in Psalm 143, let me hear your loving kindness in the morning, for I trust in you. Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift up my soul. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Let your good spirit lead me on level ground. And so we have the Word of God, we have God the Holy Spirit in us, and we are being directed and changed so that we might live in ways that are pleasing to him. Paul writes in Romans 14, the kingdom of God is righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. And so it is with that righteousness and joy and peace that we approach the Word of God and the direction that it gives us as to how to live. Well, second, the blessings of godliness in verses 2 through 9. And these verses make up the bulk of the song and also the heart of it, as it points out to us a number of specific blessings that come from godliness and from patterns of living for him. Now, all of these blessings that are described here does not mean that everything in the believer's life will go smoothly. Certainly, Scripture does not promise that. And certainly, as we've worked our way through the Psalms, we've seen that that is not true. David himself has said many times that his life, as he's desired to be godly, has been hard. In Psalm 38, for example, he recognized that there are those who repay evil for good. They oppose me because I follow what is good. And Paul writes plainly in 2 Timothy 3, indeed, all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Beyond that, we live in a broken world, in a fallen world with bodies that are subject to decay, among people who are influenced by their own fallen nature and by Satan. And so there are all kinds of difficult experiences, sickness and suffering and opposition, as God's providence allows these things. In Romans 8, we're reminded the whole creation groans and suffers in the pains of childbirth together until now. And not only that, but we ourselves, having the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. And so, even before we get into the blessings here, we don't go in thinking that everything will be sunshine and flowers, because it won't. And the Scripture certainly doesn't promise that. And yet, even in this fallen and broken world, the Lord is pleased to bless us with godliness, to bless us with the fulfillment of his promises, to bless us with the change that he brings about in us by his grace and power through Jesus Christ. And in our lives, he gives us all kinds of tokens along the way that he is with us, that he is blessing us, that he is at work in us and in the world around us. And so there are these blessings that we see in our psalm. Verses 2 and 3 speak of the blessing, the happiness that comes to the righteous one who fears in him and delights to obey him. And the first blessings mentioned here are our mighty descendants and the wealth of his house. Now, those are very helpful comments as we all have concerns about the well-beings of our families as we go forward and for our children and grandchildren as we're blessed to have them. And so we receive these blessings here. Now, the blessings that God's or the godly man's descendants will be mighty does not mean that they will necessarily be powerful in a physical sense. But it does mean the covenant children who grow up in the knowledge of God and who come to trust in the Lord will be mighty spiritually and relationally as well in the world around them. We are in Jesus Christ blessed to be able to rule in this world, whether that's seen in an outward noble sense is usually not the case. But we are certainly called to rule under Christ and in his grace have the blessings of living for him and being called to influence the world around us for him. Revelation 5 says to Christ, "You were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue, people and nation. You have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." Now, we represent God and his grace in the saving power of Christ and his rule to those around us. And we, by God's grace, are those who get it, who live for him and not for ourselves, who live for godliness and not in our sins. And so there is this great blessing that we have to be able to live for him and be blessed to have influence to those around us as he so blesses us. Colossians 1 reminds us he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, forgiveness of sins. And so we have been rescued. We have been taken from what we were, what we would have been, and we now live in and for the kingdom of Christ. And there's a great blessing in having that be true for you, that we now are able to live and exercise dominion for him and live to subdue the earth and bring our own lives and the influence that we have and the lives and the institutions of those around us and bring them, as God would so will, to submission to Christ. Genesis 1 and 28 gave us our original commission here, to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth and subdue it. Colossians 3, which I already read, reminds us, "Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father." And Jesus says in Matthew 28, "Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to observe all that I commanded you." There is more to Jesus' words there than simply delivering the gospel. We disciple, we teach, We demonstrate what it is to live for God, what it is to live for the glory of Christ, what it is to live obedient lives for Him. And so we have these blessings to have influence on those around us, in our jobs, in our neighborhoods, in our professions, in our schools, in our families, wherever we go, as we live for Him, we can have impact for Him as He so blesses, as we live to His glory and not our own. We look to the spread of His kingdom and the growth of the church through this. 1 Peter 2 tells us that you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. And so we receive of these blessings and we are to live them out. And we proclaim with our mouths and also with how we live to the world around us the blessings, the riches that He has blessed us with in Christ. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5 tells us, we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raised up against the knowledge of God, and we are taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. And so Paul there reminds us of what it is to go out into the world and to speak the word of Christ and to take in what other people offer and bring it into obedience to Christ in our own lives, and certainly as we speak and live what it is to be in Him to those around us. Matthew 5 tells us, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Matthew 5, Jesus again, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. And so those passages go along with what we're being told here in verse 4. It points to the blessing that God grants us. And then we, in turn, show that to the world around us. We're reminded in Scripture that we live in a dark world, that sin and hopelessness are all around us. And yet we rejoice in these blessings as we're reminded of them, that we have been called out of this darkness, and then we live in that darkness as lights to the world. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6. God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, is the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. And so He has so changed us, brought us into the light, and we display that light by our lives and our words to those around us. We are living before the world as upright, as living differently, as believing differently. And we remember that in the midst of this, it is all only by God's grace to us and His rescue of us that we enjoy in Christ. And we are called to be different. We have the blessing of being different. Sometimes that can be awkward. Sometimes that can be downright painful. But it is described here in our psalm and in all of Scripture as being a great blessing. We are reconciled to God. We get to live for Him. We are enabled to live godly lives. Philippians 2, prove yourselves to be blameless and innocent, children of God above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you appear as lights in the world. And so we are blessed to be righteous in an unrighteous world, and that will stand out, and that's good. Because it shows that God has blessed you, and He will oftentimes use that to bring others to Himself as they see the changes that God has made in you. And as our psalm then reminds us, we are generous and gracious, and compassionate and righteous. We are to be kind to those who are around us, to show mercy to those around us, to do what is right, even when it is not the way of the world, even when it is not the easy thing to do. And we have the courage and the ability to do these things because of the security that we have in our salvation in Christ. We don't live for this world only. We don't live for what we can get out of this world. We live for Christ. And so that makes it easy to, at least, to go against what the world would offer us and to live selfish lives. We are to show kindness and obedience as God has softened our hearts and the Spirit is at work in us. Ezekiel 36 reminds us, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my ordinances. Verse 5 points to the freedom that we have in Christ to be generous and to freely lend what God has blessed us with. Again, it's no secret that there is a greed and a selfishness that is very prevalent in this sinful world. But by God's grace, the believer is to be separate from such things and instead to be helpful and willing to loan, to give what God has supplied to us. After all, Psalm 24 reminds us, the earth is the Lord's and all it contains, the world and all who dwell in it. The believer is certainly also to pay back what he has borrowed, and this too will mark us as different. Psalm 37, the wicked borrows and does not pay back, but the righteous is gracious and gives. The believer is also to maintain his cause in justice. We are to be just and truthful in the way in which we handle our lives. And we may be mocked for what we believe. We may be mocked for trying to do the right thing. But we are to be upright in our dealings and honest in our treatment of others, so that men cannot rightly accuse us of sin. 1 Peter 3, it is better if God should so will it that you suffer for doing what is right rather than for doing what is wrong. 2 Corinthians 8, we have regard for what is honorable, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And so, we are to show that blessing, that change that God has made in us, to stand apart from the ways of the world and to live according to the ways of the Lord. Verses 6 through 8 then point to the blessings of security that we have in the Lord and how He is changing us and the way in which we should live in this dangerous world. The one who fears the Lord and delights in His commandments is said here to be very different from others. The believer will never be shaken, will not fear evil tidings. Instead, his heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. There is a steadiness and a groundedness to our lives that others cannot truly possess or know. That we know the one true God by His grace to us in Christ, that we know that we have eternal life, which has already begun, which we have as we have trusted in Christ. Jesus says in John 5, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but is passed out of death and into life. We know that He works all things by His providence for His glory and our good. Romans 8:28, We know that God causes all things to work together for good for those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. We know that it is a joy to suffer with Christ. 1 Peter 4, to the degree that you share in the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. We know that we are going to heaven by his grace, and that we look forward to the resurrection, the new heavens and the new earth. We even face death quite differently from the world around us. 1 Thessalonians 4, we do not want you to be uninformed, brethren, about those who are asleep, so that you will not grieve as do the rest who have no hope. The dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we shall always be with the Lord. And so those truths and many others are deep in our hearts and color all that we do and all that we are. Now, do we fall short? Do we always live our lives free from anxiety and free from fear and free from all of these things? No. No, we don't. We fall short. We are often of little faith. And we often forget the things that we know and live by our emotions and impressions. But this psalm and the rest of Scripture remind us that we are indeed grounded in those truths that we know from God's Word. That all of those promises that I just mentioned and many more are in there. And we know that. And when push comes to shove, we live by them. And we are grounded in them. We struggle with sin and with doubt and with fear. But at the heart of the matter, by God's grace, we know what is true. And we know what is solid and sure. And we know the God of promises. And so this psalm does remind us that we live differently from those around us who live on the sand, while we are blessed to live on the rock. Romans 5. We exult in our tribulations, knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance, and perseverance proven character, and proven character hope, and hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out within our hearts through the Holy Spirit who was given to us. And so he has poured out in our hearts, as God the Holy Spirit is in us, he is increasing us and growing us in our love for God, and the hope and the blessing and the security and the perseverance that goes along with that. Romans 15, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Again, the Holy Spirit working in us, and he is giving us hope and endurance and blessing. And that freedom that comes from the hope that we have calls us to look to those eternal and solid and sure blessings that we have in Christ over the fears that we have of the difficulties of each day. Notice then that verse 6 says that the righteous will be remembered forever. The point there is not the fulfillment of some sort of quest for fame, but rather that as we have a reputation of godliness, a reputation as one who lives for the Lord and puts his kingdom first, that our stories will last. Whereas the glory of those around us who live for themselves will fade. Their stories will not last. John writes in 1 John 2, all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the boastful pride of life is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and also its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. Those who oppose us will not succeed. And we will look by God's grace in triumph at the work of the devil and evil men as Christ protects us and we go on to victory. Our lives will be marked with this generosity and this righteousness and this compassion as we seek to honor Him. And our horn will be lifted in honor. In other words, we will be blessed and our lives will bring honor to God. Well, third and finally and briefly, the difference he gives in verse 10. The psalm then closes with the contrast of the righteous man with the wicked man, the one who does not fear God, who has not humbled himself in repentance, the one who has not sought to obey the commands of God out of a true faith. The unbeliever sees what the believer does and is angry about it. He is not pleased by it. He is vexed by it. In other words, it makes him extremely angry. The generosity, the moral clarity, the hope, all of the blessings that we receive in this psalm are seen by the unbeliever here, and it makes them angry because they feel judged and jealous. Christ says in John 15, if the world hates you, you know that it has hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this the world hates you. It doesn't make any sense in a worldly sense for them to hate that when we stand for something good and true and godly, when we are good neighbors, when we don't steal, when we don't harm, when we don't kill, they should love us. We make good citizens. We make great neighbors. We make good friends. And yet there is often an irrational hatred of believers for being believers, for standing by God's standards of righteousness as opposed to the world's. And we will oftentimes feel the wrath of people against us. And yet that's okay, because that indeed is an evidence that God has changed us and that we are living for Christ and that we are standing out by how we live for Him. Psalm 73 reminds us not to be envious of the world around us when things seem to go well for them. I was envious of the arrogant as I saw the prosperity of the wicked, until I came to the sanctuary of God and I perceived their end. Surely you set them in slippery places. You cast them down to destruction. The lost around us will not arrive at a place of truth or of life or of satisfaction outside of repentance in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so our psalm reminds us that living for pleasure or for sin or according to the lies of the world does not satisfy, that only Christ does. Paul writes in Philippians 3, whatever things were gained to me, to those things I have counted as a loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing greatness of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but dung, that I may gain Christ and may be found in Him. And so our psalm reminds us to embrace those differences and those blessings. Enjoy the obedience that we have been given in Christ Jesus, the changes that He has made and is making in you, that we are able to live righteous and godly lives before Him, that we are able to live to a different standard, that we are not fearing the things that they fear, because by God's grace we have been redeemed We have been given promises. He is making changes in us. We, by God's grace, get it. And so we are to rejoice in those changes and in that grace and in our Savior, and to live delighting in obedience and what it is to live for Him. Let's pray. Lord God, we do praise You and thank You for this portion of Your Word and ask that You might apply it to our hearts. We pray that You might cause us to delight in Your obedience, in the blessing that we have to be redeemed from our sin in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You have rescued us by Your grace alone from our fallen condition. And that by Your Spirit you have changed us. You have set us apart. You enable us to live godly lives. We certainly know that we fall short. We sin daily in thought, word, and deed. We often fear what the world fears, and we are often anxious. Well, we do thank You that at the core of who we are, because of Your grace, we are trusting in You and Your promises. We live to a different standard, and we have hope. And so we pray that You would make us lights to the world as we live for Christ, that we would have influence on those around us, as You would so bless, to bring all things to know You, to submit to Christ, that those around us would join us in Your kingdom to know You and the forgiveness that only Christ gives. And that we would see many come to Christ and join us in living for You. We thank You and praise You for all of these things. In Jesus' name, amen.